Hey everybody, Dave Hodges here, host of The Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. And we have Tom Rentz here for a guest with us today. And Tom Rentz has been associated with the Frontline Doctors. He's fighting the fight against, shall we say, COVID, lockdown, tyranny, all the things that we know aren't scientifically based, just designed to control us, strip us of our constitutional rights, wreck our economy, and a whole number of other effects. And we're going to have a fascinating discussion about some of the latest developments along these lines and going into new areas. And it's kind of a shame, too, because sometimes you have discussions with your guests that are so great in your pre-air discussions, and then sometimes you hit on areas that people aren't ready to talk about yet. But we, like I said, we're going to cover a lot today, but I have a feeling Tom's going to be back on the show talking about some other things that are interesting. Folks, I'm telling you, we're just getting to the bottom of the truth. And Tom's going to help us in that endeavor. Before we start with Tom, though, I need to let you know a few things here very quickly. I've warned you about impending food shortages. They're now here. In a 24-hour period, Biden issued two warnings. The head of the UN Food Security, David Beasley, issued a warning, and the UN itself, their migration headquarters, warned Europe that they're going to get invaded by massive immigration because of famine conditions around the world. And I have told you about 23 impediments to our food supply. You don't have long to get your food because the dollar's in big trouble. People are running from the petrodollar. They're going to the ruble gold. They're lining up like crazy for this. We're losing our only backing. Your time to get survival supplies are really narrowing. This is not a sales pitch. This is reality and economics. Go to preparewithdave.com. All the details are there. They haven't raised their prices yet, and they still have a sale on for now. So preparewithdave.com. And if you have food, you better have water filtration. If Putin makes good to take down our grid, you're going to be scavenging for water. You got to make sure it's purified. We sell the Alexa Pure Pro water filter. The research at waterwithdave.com verifies how good it is. And they too have not raised their prices, and they too still have a sale, but they will sell out because we have sold out with them before. So you go to waterwithdave.com. So you need the food, preparewithdave.com, the water, waterwithdave.com. These are your two most important needs. And if you can't see the seriousness of the hour of the day, you need to listen to more of our shows. And then finally, one last thing. Do you have too much of your percentage of your income in the bank? I tell people only leave in the bank what you can afford to lose, a management account for maybe a month or two of bills, and you need to look for other alternatives to diversify. If you do, you have a real good chance of coming through this meltdown of our economy and the dollar that's coming. You have a good chance to survive this fairly much intact. And I can't tell you you're going to be unscathed. I don't think any of us are. But I can tell you, you got a better chance. I'm a customer of Noble Gold. I'm not just an advertiser. I'm a customer multiple times over, and we have an appointment tomorrow morning to do what I'm talking about doing. I'm just going to leave you with a number to call. They will tell you how to diversify and how to protect your assets, and they're as good as they get. They're the best. They're low pressure, and I trust them implicitly. Call them at 877-646-5347, 877-646-5347. And there's a reason why we choose the advertisers we do, folks. I turn down 90% of good companies, good people, but I want to do things for the audience that I think that you're going to need. I pray that you don't need these things, but I think the writing's clearly on the wall. And we've got all our advertising out of the way, so Tom Rentz and I have a straight shot to the end of the hour. Tom, thanks for joining us, my friend. It's always great to have you on. And I just need to check one thing here, because we have had interference in our broadcast. I need to make sure that you and I are actually going out over the air, and I apologize if I'm being redundant, Tom, but if I don't do this, we could have a big problem. Oh boy. Sorry, one second here. Ladies and gentlemen, you've heard my broadcast with Steve Quayle and with my former DHS friend Doug Thornton. And you know what interference that we have experienced. I mean, NFL music coming in the middle of our broadcast. Yeah, okay, we're good to go. Tom, thanks for your patience on this. We are good to go over the airwaves. But today's time, you can't be too sure. So welcome to the show. I know you're still busy. What are you working on these days?
Oh, everything. I mean, obviously, we're not leaving COVID until we're free and there's accountability. And, you know, they're actually ramping up what they're doing. You know, they said that, oh, well, COVID's over, except for, you know, they're still mandating, they're still pushing They're actually working on how they can continue to push the mandates. We're hearing all sorts of crazy things out of Washington. So, I mean, we got that fight. But, you know, I mean, we're also dealing with a lot of just the same stuff everybody else is. The attack on common sense. The attack on everything that's American. I mean, if you are pro the United States of America, if you believe that we have a nation and that our nation ever had an American culture, then you have to know that it's being attacked in every way, shape, and form. Whether it's, you know, putting pornography in school libraries, whether it's telling people that the sky is red rather than blue. And what I mean by that is, you know, they just, the lies that started with COVID worked well enough that they've just decided there doesn't even need to be a sort of basis in truth. I mean, look at what this lady that's getting nominated for the Supreme Court who can't decide what a girl is. You know, I mean, we're just, I mean, it's a heck of a fight. And we will remain focused in COVID, but we're also, we're trying to address some of these other things to the best of our ability on the periphery, because it's a war on America, and we either stand or we lose everything.
Do you get the feeling that some of these people aren't really invested in what they're promoting? It's just they're trying to do a Maoist cultural revolution just to overthrow the status quo so they can take over?
Oh, I think that there's a lot of that. I don't think anyone in Washington believes anything they say. I mean, there's like three or four guys in Washington that actually believe what they say. The rest of them, you know, I don't think they believe a word of it. They're just doing it for because they've been ordered to and they get something out of it. You know, I just, it's sick what's happening. You know, you can't, listen, Dave, I mean, you know this. You talk to people for a living. You cannot find support for the policies coming out of Washington. If no one is supporting the policies coming out of Washington, there's only one reason you do it. Because you're going against what your electorate wants. You can't win unless you cheat. And so you would only do this if you, first of all, believe that you could, you know, somehow cheat this, the elections. And second of all, we're being told to do it. Because you certainly wouldn't govern against the will of, you know, 70%+ of the American people in an election year for any other reason.
It doesn't make a lot of sense, but we see this in so many different, like school boards. School boards are the closest thing we have to grassroots politics. And yet we have got school board members that have citizens arrested for wanting to know what's in the curriculum when they come to protest at the meetings. And in all the years I spent in education, I've never seen anything like this. I mean, I don't know if it's an invasive evil spirit that's getting into these people. Are they given golden parachutes and they're being bribed to do what they're doing? And do you have any feeling on why school boards are as radical as they are today?
Well, we've been able to trace a lot of money running through school boards, a lot of money. And, you know, it's a lot cheaper to buy off someone who, you know, makes $40,000 a year and is on the school board than it is to buy off a politician who people are throwing millions at. And it's, you know, arguably long-term more impactful, because if you can get the schools to miseducate your kids, you know, you can, you know, train these kids to grow up to be screwed up, you know, little crazy people that vote for insane things. So, I mean, a lot of the fight has gotten local. And I think a lot of the people in the know and in the power have realized that, you know, the victory long-term is local. It always comes down to what's happening locally, because you can only preach so much from Washington. Nobody really cares what they say anymore, because everybody knows that they're liars.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. And all politics, as they say, is local. But I'll tell you what I'm finding, though, too, is I found a lot of George Soros interference in the local politics. In Arizona, where I did a lot of research on the Arizona election fraud, I have found that most of the county clerk and recorders at the time of the election were on the payroll in some way through campaign contributions or some other inducement. The county clerk and recorders that could really control an election were on George Soros's payroll.
Yeah, there is an immense amount of money. And, you know, as we've been fighting the COVID thing, Yeah, the COVID thing is something that is systemic, right? So when you look at COVID, what you got to understand is that, you know, right down to your school board and your county health department, you're seeing the COVID narrative pushed, even though these people fear, I mean, it's hard to argue that they don't see the truth. So how does that happen, right? And what you got to understand is that the COVID corruption has taught me how extensive this network of monsters is. The bad guys that we're fighting that have been pushing the COVID narrative, it is incredible how complex and how deep it is. We have been asleep at the wheel in this country for a long time, and what's happened is these evil monsters have incrementally built these mechanisms by which they're creating control and exerting control right down to the local level. And, you know, they do it through, at the local level, it's not quite as nefarious looking as it is at the national or international level, but it's still, you know, it's still top down. It's still top down from the same group of evil people. And yeah, the corruption is right down to your local leadership in some cases. And, you know, a lot of these guys don't realize the wheel that they're a cog in. You know, they know that they're doing something a little bit shady, so they're not going to admit to it. But they don't realize how big this wheel is, and, you know, that being a part of it is really an incredibly serious thing.
You just took away one of the questions I was going to ask you. It was so well stated. I'm trying to think of the best way to put this. What I see is people being subservient to an evil attitude, but they're so focused on the rewards that they're getting by this weekend that they can't see the long-term damage that their actions are taking. Is that kind of what you're saying?
Well, let me give you a comparison. When I was in law school, I had the opportunity to go down and spend some time in Washington with a friend of mine who did work hunting down Nazis after World War II. And I got to look at some of the files. And when you look at the files, you see reports and things like that written by stormtroopers who were just, you know, 20-year-old kids in Germany who were part of the military during World War II. And, you know, they clearly were just doing their job and didn't think anything about it. You know, it's just, what are you doing? Well, you know, today I'm you know, inventorying weapons, you know, or whatever. Well, those guys, you know, they were just doing their job. They were just getting their paycheck, right? That's what they told themselves. What they didn't think about was the fact that they were just inventorying weapons for one of the most evil monsters in the history of the world, and that evil monster was using those weapons to kill innocent people all over the place. And so their quote-unquote innocent action wasn't really all that innocent because they were contributing to this evil. And I think that's what's happening here. You've got a ton of people who are doing things that, yeah, I mean, I know that this is all kind of shady, but, you know, I don't really have that much to do with it. I don't really have that important of a part, so I guess it doesn't really matter. Plus, I'm going to get a few extra $100 out of it. Well, that attitude is the precise reason that we're in this situation. Because, well, I don't mind selling out a little bit to do this or a little bit to do that. I mean, you know, look what I get out of it. And, you know, I'm not that big of a deal, so does it really matter? No, but when 1 million people do that, when 10 million people do that, when it becomes so pervasive, when people on a large, large, large scale refuse to stand for what's right, then what's left is what's wrong. And that wins. So that's really, I mean, you've got to understand that when you look at this situation, and I spent 2 years analyzing the COVID side of this from top to bottom in every way that you can. This situation has occurred because of systemic evil and corruption throughout our society, through complacency, through a lack of caring, through a, well, it doesn't affect me, through just a willingness to close your eyes or bury your head rather than to take a stand to do something. And that complacency has resulted in us being on the verge of losing everything.
That complacency is definitely in evidence. But, you know, I'm wondering, Tom, at what point does self-preservation take over? For example, the reporter from CNN who one day can't feed their kids. and resource shortage is so acute that life is not normal, and they just keep right on trucking. Or the diehard Democrat that votes the same no matter what the election candidates are, they just vote for the party. At what point does people's self-preservation take over and say, we can't continue to go down the same path?
Well, I think that we're seeing the answer to that now, and what we're seeing is that it's a sliding scale. It's not a binary thing. It's not on or off. You know, what's happening is that people are waking up because they can no longer bury their head. And there's a huge number of them waking up. You know, we went from what I would say is a fairly bell curve type distribution where 30% of the people didn't believe this from the beginning, 40% were undecided, and 30% were all in. And I would say that, you know, we've moved to the 50% being people who are awake now. But the problem is that, it, you know, everybody doesn't wake up at once. I mean, if you look, I think World War II is a wonderful analogy, because that's what's happening, is we have a global war on humanity. And, you know, if you look at World War II, I mean, there were Jewish people willingly getting on the trains right till the end, thinking, well, you know, if I just don't buck the system, you know, maybe I'll be okay. Well, I mean, there were Germans who were right up till the end turning in their friends, their sisters, their brothers. You know, there are some people who just, you know, they're bought in, they're sold, and they're done, and they're never going to wake up to it. You know, maybe it's because they can't look themselves in the mirror and see what they sold out to. Maybe it's because they have a hard time reconciling, you know, a pride thing. You know, I'm too embarrassed that I was suckered in by all this. Yeah, I can't really say why that is, but there are some that won't wake up. The key, though, is that a majority, I think, or very close to a majority, are waking up or have woken up. And the more awake they become, you know, that sleeping giant's going to be very hard to stop. I think we still win this. But one of the things is everybody says, well, when are you going to win this for us? I'm not going to win this for us. I'm just some schlub. We're going to win this together, or we're going to lose it together. I can get a win in court. That's not going to fix this. There's been wins in courts. These guys are breaking the law. It doesn't matter what the courts say. These guys are breaking the law outright. So you got to understand that I could take the biggest win ever in the court, and that makes it very public that they're not allowed to do it. And it reminds us, and it shows people, I guess, more upfront that what they're doing is illegal. But, I mean, the reality is that it's already illegal. We all know it's illegal. Everything they're doing is illegal, but they're doing it anyways. So we either win this together or we lose it all. And, you know, that's where it all stands.
At some point, though, I think we have to look at the uniformity of the enemy we're facing, and they're relentless. Let me give you a current example. In the midst of the airlines protesting the mask mandates, saying this is ridiculous, stop it, Biden, we have Anthony Fauci that speaks out and says, well, I think the lockdowns and restrictions are coming back. Did you see that, Tom?
I heard him saying something about that. And if you don't think that that's going to happen, you've lost your mind. I mean, just because Biden told us that we get a little break in his you know, lying State of the Union garbage address. I mean, which he probably doesn't even remember by now. You know, I mean, anybody that believed that is just fooling themselves. What's the current one? Is it BA2, the current new variant that's going to end us all? You got to understand something, Dave. And I put this out on my Substack. I just wrote this article. I put out a question. So we know, we have government documents. We have an FDA document from October of 2020 that says there's going to be all these side effects from this vaccine. We have, as of February 28, 2021, there were thousands of deaths from the vaccine, according to a Pfizer study, and they covered it all up. They moved ahead, even with all that, they still moved ahead and forced the jab on kids. Even though, and then continued saying it was safe and effective, even though we have, and then it's in September of 2021, a document saying that a majority of the people getting COVID were vaxxed, and a majority of the people in the hospital were vaxxed. Even though they knew everything they were doing was dangerous, not working, and causing more harm than good, they kept going with it. Now, at some point, they had to know that this is going to come out. That means that one of two things must be true. Either they expected that that things are so corrupt that even when it comes out, nobody's going to be able to do anything about it. Or two, that they didn't care if they got caught because the whole end game is about getting jabs and arms. Well, I've got evidence on this, okay? Now, I'm not going to answer the question because I don't have proof. I have evidence. Here's the thing. I think it's a lot to suggest that that the end game is that they believe that there's enough corruption that they can get this through everywhere without more. I think they can get a long ways with it, but I think that they've always been thinking that they could get far enough with it that they could delay. But why is it that it's so important to get these shots in arms? Why is that so critical? Because they don't work. They're not efficacious. They're not safe. Why is that so important? And I think people need to start asking themselves that. Why is it so critical that every person get this shot over and over again? They just okayed the fourth booster today. Why is that so important? We know it doesn't work. Look what happened in Israel. Look what happened in the UK. We know it doesn't work. Why would they do that? And why is it that Joe Biden just announced, you know, his absolute commitment within the last couple of weeks to making sure everyone in the world gets jabbed? Why? It can't be because it can't be for any good reason, because we know that the jabs don't stop the disease and they're not safe. So why? And that's the thing I think people need to ask themselves.
I have some response to that. One, I believe it's gene editing. So I think there is a plot to edit our genes. And I think that's an easy conclusion to make. I don't think it's a conspiracy theory. We know that this alters RNA and DNA, conclusively proved by researchers. So the fact that they're trying to force something on us, they know doesn't work, but we know what does work. We have to ask ourselves, why are they so interested in editing our genes? I don't know if you agree with that assessment, but if you do, I'd like your response to that if you have an opinion.
Well, I can tell you that not only do you have researchers, but you have Moderna and Pfizer both have admitted that these are gene therapies.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's not a debatable thing. I mean, you can go to the 2019 Moderna SEC filings and see that they talk extensively about one of the biggest risks to their business model is that mRNA technology is a gene therapy, and so that could affect their stock prices. This is not like a maybe thing. We know it's a gene therapy. I mean, Pfizer agreed to do a study, agreed to under the FDA rules, to under the FDA's grant of authority, to do a study on shedding in gene therapy drugs. Why do they need to do a multi-million-dollar study on shedding in gene therapy drugs if it doesn't shed and there's no gene therapy? I mean, this is indisputable. You're dead on. It does work for one thing. It does edit your genes. We don't, you know, I mean, what does that mean and what are the long-term effects? Well, I don't know, but I do know that, you know, if you look at environmental law, one of the things that they had a fit about, you know, in the lawsuits going back when, is with some of the chemicals that have been sprayed over the years. They worry because, you know, once high-level carnivore or, you know, so, something in the food chain starts ingesting it, well, it goes up and down the food chain, and it, you know, it can screw up generations of creatures. Well, what's going to happen when you edit the genes of humanity? What's that going to do? And the answer is we don't know, because there's no long-term testing.
Oh, I hate to go so conspiratorial, but I just want to use the words of the so-called elite against them. 1997, Ted Turner told Audubon magazine, it's in print so it's not debatable, man that contributed $50 million to the UN, started CNN and all the Turner broadcast networks. So we're not talking a small player here. And he said, and I pretty come close to a quote, that reduction of the population by 90% is preferable. That was 1997. And then I'm going to bootstrap that into a spiritual thing if you want to take this bait. David Spangler, who's the head of the Eco Division for the United Nations, and this is something that is not secretive either, it's all over. He said, one will not come to the New World Order without taking an initiation from Lucifer. And I'm shortening it just for the interest of brevity. But that's something that's been attributed to him over and over and over, and no one's effectively walked that statement back. Is this where we're going, Tom, in your mind?
You know, it's, so I'm an evidence guy, right? If I can't see it, I can't see it. But if I do see it, I don't know what I'm supposed to do with it. So one of the things that I've been made aware of recently is Clay Clark's been talking about this Naval something Harari or whatever.
Yeah, I had Clay on my show, and he played video clips of this guy. Go ahead with that, please.
Yeah, so, I mean, this guy's talking about stuff that just, I mean, it's insane. The guy is literally lamenting the fact that the Nazis didn't have more technology so they could be successful. I mean, he's literally talking about how sad that is. And, you know, this guy is, I mean, someone Obama said he admired, someone that Klaus Schwab, all these global leaders are turning to. I mean, listen, I don't know. You know, is this, could I go to court? And this is always a standard I use when I talk about things. Could I take to court that these guys are, you know, some sort of a satanic plot? No, I couldn't. But can I bring to court that these guys have openly admitted to things that would be abhorrent to most anybody that heard them? Yep. Can I go to court and say that these guys are in positions of power that, you know, can and are influencing a lot of things? Yeah. I have a direct tie between Klaus Schwab and COVID. No, outside of the fact that he wrote a book called The Great Reset, and, you know, he talked about COVID being the mechanism by which he is going to do it. I mean, it's interesting. There's an awful lot of evidence out there pointing. It's just not quite conclusive enough to say, yeah, that's what's going on, you know. But, I mean, yeah, I can present the evidence to people and let them make their own decisions. And, you know, I think that's what they need to do.
Tom, you're the lawyer. I'm not. But I do know the term, preponderance of the evidence. And when you've got Bill Gates that ran Event 201, which is the precursor to the release of COVID, and it's identical in its structure, the way they conducted this exercise, and then you've got his colleague at the World Economic Forum that Bill Gates associates with, and Klaus Schwab, and he says COVID is the vehicle, don't we get to a preponderance of the evidence occurrence at some point?
Well, listen, I mean, here's the deal. If someone says to me, hey, was COVID created or was this, you know, some biological accident? I'm going to laugh because there's no question. I mean, this was built in a lab. We know that. I mean, we've got more than enough evidence to make that case. And I will make that case. You know, I'm going to eventually make that go into court. Can we say that you know, some of these guys look like they were involved? I would say that it does look like some of these guys were involved, but I don't have enough evidence. If you ask me, could I sue Bill Gates tomorrow? I don't think I could sue Bill Gates tomorrow. What I could do, though, and will do, is I will sue these guys, and I will sue the right people, and I will figure out how, through discovery, to find out who all was involved. And when I find out who all was involved, then we'll know for sure. And then we can hold them accountable. But what we need to do, what would make my life a whole lot easier, because, you know, there's obviously a lot of people and a lot of money that does not want me to do this. So what would make my life a whole lot easier is if enough people would wake up that they demanded Nuremberg-type hearings, and we were able to have a true trial of these criminals and do the investigation properly and see where it goes, you know, because that's what we should be doing anyways. We know that there was evil. We know that this has killed millions of people. And by this, I mean the vaccine. We know the jab has killed an unnecessary number of people because they've used snake poison. It's the snake oil salesman, right? Yeah, it's like the old snake oil salesman. We create the disease, then we create the cure. And except for this doesn't cure, it makes people worse. We look at things like remdesivir, which kills people. It doesn't make them better, but yet we keep pushing this. So yeah, I think there needs to be trials, there needs to be accountability. And when we do that, that's where we should be doing our real homework and our real investigation to see who did what when and who knew what when.
Do you think some of those doors are going to be opened by, I think, what's the coming prosecution of Hunter Biden?
If they do it, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know, under the current administration, I don't know how they would get that done. I mean, these guys are so corrupt, it's sick. And, Hunter Biden, by the way, I got additional stuff on Hunter Biden that I haven't made public yet. I mean, this guy is a bad, bad actor. This guy would sell his soul for a nickel. And they're just, I mean, he is just garbage. And, his dad's been covering for him and helping him do it for a lot of years. I don't know how Hunter Biden comes out of this without getting caught on some stuff, but I also don't know, that this administration will be the one to actually go after him. The DOJ right now, I mean, I'm going to be honest, if there's one group of people that needs cleaned out in D.C., it's the DOJ. I mean, yep. that is the epitome of the swamp.
It's been that way for a long time in there, and that was one of Trump's undoings, I think, was his inability to rein in the DOJ. But I hear what you're saying. I wanted to go to something. You brought up the new variant name, and I have a question for you. Based on your work with doctors and so forth, my outdated knowledge of biology and science, a lot of it comes from my early high school days, like in my freshman year. And what I'm wondering, Tom, is I thought variants came along in years, not weeks and months. And it seems like we're being hit with variants that are outside the norm for the numerical number of them in such a short amount of time. Am I onto something there, or is my information wrong?
Yeah, they don't have anything. Listen, the variant thing is garbage. Hey, you've got this variant or that variant. Okay, so let me tell you how they can tell if you have a variant. They don't. Basically, the only way to tell if you've got a variant is to send it in for gene sequencing. I mean, nobody's doing that. There's not enough labs to do that. That's not a quick process. It's not an easy process. There is no way to determine that you have a variant, but there's no way to determine if you have COVID. All the PCR tests are in class one recall, almost. And the PCR test never worked anyways. P.S., let's not overlook the fact that we have in court right now a case saying, hey, by the way, the PCR tests are fraudulent and that's illegal. And, we'll see where that goes. That's at the Sixth Circuit right now. This whole thing is illegal beyond words. I mean, it's ridiculous. And the idea that you've got variants, they have no idea if you have variants. None whatsoever. It is ridiculous. Like I said, how can they even test for it? The PCR test didn't work when they started, but they certainly don't work now. By the way, if you're getting a PCR test, I hope someone's sending you a thank you note for giving them your DNA, because that's really the main thing with the PCR, is to harvest DNA. And we've got quite a bit of evidence on that. And I don't mind saying publicly that it's my very strong opinion. I can't say it's proven, but I can say it's my very strong opinion, based on all the evidence that we have, that the whole PCR testing thing is all garbage, it's all fraud, and was really just a big DNA grab, which is, by the way, we also have evidence that a substantial number of those DNA databases that were developed from the PCR tests were then sold to China. Not that that's an issue.
Well, it is if you're making race-specific bioweapons, which do exist. that is a concern for me, the way you expressed it. But
a little sarcasm there.
I know, I hear you. The only area, I hate to use the word expertise because I want to be humble here, but I am trained. I've taught research and stats. I've developed a course in research and two in stats. So I have a little bit of credibility here, what I'm going to tell you. And I think I've mentioned this to you before. April 18th of 2020, the head of the acting head of the FDA came out, Commissioner Hahn, and he said, we're not going to require third-party validation for the PCR test. And I said at the time, then you don't have a test. You don't have measures of internal and external validity and reliability. And I said, you have nothing. And then they doubled down on their fraud by paying hospital organizations for COVID diagnoses and then COVID deaths so they could have inflated numbers based on people's greed and desire to get the payment from the federal government. So the whole thing was filled with fraud in the beginning, Tom. I mean, there's nothing, I think, even controversial about this. There is no test that can accurately diagnose COVID.
No, there's not. Well, you know what? That's not true. If you wanted to have your blood drawn and sequenced in a genetic sequencer, they might be able to detect it
okay.
that way.
I'll take
but
that.
It wouldn't be,
yeah, I'll walk back my comment there. But I'll say this. The commonly used tests, the over-the-counter, the medical lab tests that they're giving people are not valid.
No, they're not at all. They're not at all. And you know what? So when I started the Substack, one of the things I wanted to do was give people some content. So I went through and I went back to the first case I filed. And this was filed in September of 2020. Okay. And I started working on it at the end of July. It took me over a month to write. That case, which was very well cited, I laid out a fact pattern. We talked about the PCR test being garbage. We talked about the COVID numbers, death numbers being inflated. We talked about the psychological attack on people and what they were doing with it. We talked about everything that's happened, and we were right on every single point. I put out a series of articles on the Substack about, you know, going through it and laying out some of the different fact patterns that we included in that case. And I just said, are we a prophet or were we right? And I am certainly, I will just give away, I am not a prophet. We just dug out the conspiracy very early. We've known all this stuff for 2 years. It's
sure.
like the whole gene therapy thing. That, I mean, we've been talking about that since they announced this vaccine, these vaccines. I mean, we knew that from the beginning. It was absolutely clear as day. mRNA is gene therapy. It's well known. I mean, so it's amazing how much people don't know and how the other side of this, they don't just, you know, exaggerate. They just come right out and lie directly to your face. It's like they stand there and, you know, hey, the sky is red. What? No, it is. It's red. And you can look at the sky. You can see it's blue. But nope, it's red. And they just stand behind it. It's so ridiculous. And I think that this is really an important thing to understand because it's not just COVID. They're doing this everywhere. It's like the whole, you can have a penis and be a girl. No, you can't. I'm sorry. You just can't. That's not what a girl is. 2 plus 2 doesn't equal 4 because my truth says otherwise. What? No, it does. 2 plus 2 is 4 every time. Okay? Every time. You know, it is insanity. They are outright lying to our faces, and then they're laughing at us because we're stupid enough to believe it.
Well, you're totally right. You're talking to someone who immersed himself in the Kennedy assassination, and I'll tell you one of my big takeaways from this, from all the media coverage I invoked in this and all the people I interviewed. The cover-up was unbelievably sloppy. It was sloppy beyond belief that anyone who would bother to look at any facts would see how massively lied to the American public was about the event. And I thought, well, there'll never be such a sloppy deception on such a large scale again. And I remember thinking this about 10 years ago until COVID came along. And do you agree with me that their cover stories don't even make sense?
No, no, they don't. They don't. They've relied on the laziness of people, the unwillingness of people to dig, and the fact that they have a completely complicit news media that is absolutely at the core of this lie.
Yes.
I mean, they control the information narrative. That's why Google, Facebook, Twitter censorship is so important. Because, you know, if people actually were able to communicate about the truth, well, guess what? The whole thing come down real quick. That's why, you know, I mean, you know, if Trump ever gets his social media thing up is, and we get a real number of people on there, you know, that would be a major, major blow to what these guys are doing, because free speech is, there are two things that the bad guys know are the absolute end to tyranny and dictatorships, and that is free speech and free religion. And free speech and free religion have to be backed up by the Second Amendment, right, to bear arms. But those three things together mean that you cannot have a dictatorship. You cannot truly have tyranny if you have free speech, free religion, and the right to defend it with a gun. So, you know, they're trying real hard to eliminate those things, because when you have religion, then you understand that you are accountable never to a man. You're always accountable only to a higher power. That's the core of faith. That's what faith is. When you have free speech, you can talk about the lies that you're seeing. You can talk about the untruth. You know, one of the things I've been talking about in interviews is I want you to, this is a bit morbid, but look at your local obituaries. Look at your local, get on the website for your local funeral home. See how many 40-year-olds have died from unknown causes in the last month.
Right.
See how many, you know, young people are dying from cancer or strokes or heart attacks or things that, and how many people do you know in your life who you're like, oh my gosh, they just died? Really? They're too young for that. What happened? Well, when did they get their last jab? You know, I mean, you know, we can live the truth. We just have to open our eyes to it. But, you know, you got to be willing to open your eyes. And that's the bottom line.
Yeah, I had a dear friend die in September of last year. And he had been vaccinated 6 months before, his wife at the same time, and they died 3 months apart, and they were in their mid-60s.
Yep. It's happening everywhere. And remember, you know, this is actually, it, as bad as this is, I think it's actually, it's a little bit scary, because what we're seeing right now is just the tip of the iceberg. You know, we're going to start seeing massive numbers of casualties.
Yeah.
Over time.
Right.
Because this is 3 to 5 years is where the real danger is. This stuff, you know, you put it in, if you're young and healthy, you're not going to die the next day. And our numbers, our statistics, all the data that I've gotten from whistleblowers shows me the same thing. The higher the risk you are from COVID, the higher the risk you are from the jab. If you get the jab and you're high risk of death from COVID, then you're high risk of death from the jab. And the younger and healthier you are, the longer it takes to kill you. So, you know, 3 to 5 years out, which we're only at the end of the first year. And, you know, you get 3 to 5 years out, and I'm terrified what we're going to be seeing.
Well, I've done some shows on this. And first of all, Mike Adams wrote a really good article where he cited the CEO of a life insurance company and said they were paying out death claims 100,000 greater a month than they were a year ago. That's one. And then I've been interviewing a lady who used to have a position with FEMA, and she said she sat through all the simulations and discussions of something like this, and she thinks that the deaths are going to peak out at 300,000, and we're in the process of increasing to that level now.
Yeah, well, it's going to be a lot more than that. 300,000 is short term, and I'll be honest.
That's a month.
Oh, okay. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you meant total.
No, 100,000 a month is what Mike came up with, Mike Adams, with his information disclosed by a CEO of a life insurance company. Celeste Solomon came along and said that's an underestimate for how much it's going to be. She said her data when she was working in FEMA said it could peak to about 300,000 a month over what it was prior.
Yeah, I would agree with you. That seems like a much more accurate number to me. One of the things that I always find interesting is I got the comments the other day. Someone said, "Well, you're not a doctor. How can you look at this?" Okay, so first of all, I do have a background in statistics and biostatistics and health science and epidemiology. But even if I didn't, you got to understand something. When we start talking about, 100% increase, I don't need to run a p-value to determine what's going on here. I mean, this is as clear as day. Correlation may not equal causation, but correlation can indicate causation.
Correct.
And when correlation occurs over and over and over again, and it's at a rate that's just absolutely astronomical, you have to be blind not to see what's going on, and that's what's occurring here. You don't need to be a scientist or a statistician to understand this. You just got to get your head out of your rear and look.
I laugh because it's so simplistically true. Let me go back and let me ask you to put your speculation hat on for a second. One of the things I really want to know, and I think people who've looked at this want to know, if these are gene editing tools, the vaccines, when they are, to what end could they possibly be doing this? Is there any speculative direction you would say we need to look in this area on why they're messing with our DNA and RNA?
Well, I mean, I think that's really one of the questions, right? Because it's not to keep you safe from COVID. It doesn't work. I mean, we know it doesn't work, but yet they keep doing it. So why would they do that? And why do they have long-term tests for plans for long-term testing and long-term this and long-term that? You know, I mean, what's going on? Why do we have that? It doesn't make any sense, right? Unless there's something more. And it goes to that same question I asked earlier. If you know you're going to get caught at some point, then why do you keep doing this, right? Because you know, listen, there's no way this gets covered up forever. The question is, what's the goal? If the goal is just to get needles in arms, why? Why? Why do you want to do that when this doesn't work? And that's really the key. I mean, so why do you want to do that? Well, it definitely screws with your genes. What would they want to do that for? What would be the point? What would be the purpose? And that's a great question. And in terms of the why, all I got is speculation. I don't have proof as to why anybody would want to screw with everybody's genes. It seems like a terrible idea to me. I mean, it's the kind of thing you'd see a movie on. Hey, we screwed with people's genes, and now look at it, it's the zombie apocalypse. And I say that jokingly, but your genes are that's what runs your body. That's the software that runs your body. You start screwing with that, you know, what do you get? I mean, are you still human if you don't share the same genome?
There you go. Yeah.
I mean, you know, yeah. And I don't know. I don't know what it means. I am not a genealogist. I'm not a genetic scientist. I'm not I don't get into, the way genes have transferred down the years and stuff like that, through family ties or otherwise. And so I don't, I'm not a geneticist. I said genealogist, I think. That's ridiculous. But I'm not a geneticist. I don't know why you'd want to do that or what benefit there could be. I just know it seems like a terrible
idea. Can we agree on the fact that changing of the human being is an outgrowth of this?
Well, I don't know how. Listen, I mean, if we're defined by a common genetic thread, right, and we are, I mean, if you change it, I think, what is it? We got 99% of our DNA in common with chimpanzees, right? I'm not a chimp. I'm pretty sure you're not a chimp. Pretty sure any of our listeners are not chimps, but they have 99% genes in common. Well, what percentage do you have to change before you're not a human? And I don't know the answer to that. I don't know. I mean, I don't, to me, that part of the science is a little over my head, But you don't have to be a scientist to ask the question. You just got to be a critical thinker, which we don't want that, God forbid. But, you start screwing with the genes. At what point do you screw with enough where, you know, maybe we don't even look the same? Maybe we're hairy. Maybe we are, you know, whatever. But, I mean, this is a really important ethical question that we're just blowing by.
I'm friends with a guy named Vance Davis, whose former NSA was attached to NATO, and he was pretty well connected. He was on the staff of the senior non-com for NATO, Bob Dean, who I know. Before he died, I knew Bob. And Vance said something to me very provocative, and I actually tracked Vance down because he was talking about secret space program stuff. And my dad had some loose affiliation of that with research with Nazi scientists, but I couldn't talk about it publicly while my mom was alive because she'd lose his pension. So I sought him out after I heard him on the Art Bell show, first time I ever heard Art Bell. And we developed a relationship, and I felt I could trust him, so we started sharing information. Here's what he told me, Tom, and you got to remember, this is a guy who has credibility with his background. I'm not saying he's right. I'm saying he has credibility. And he said this. He said he was trained in his NSA training that there was a war in the cosmos. That caught him by big surprise. And he said the bad guys were cast down to Earth. That's Genesis 6 in the Bible. That's fallen angel stuff. And then he said they would like to have, what he was told, to have attacked God's prime creation, which is the soul of humanity. But they couldn't figure out how to do it. So now they're after changing the human being. The year he was told this was 1989. He shared this with me in 1993, before transhumanism was ever a term. And he described it perfectly in 1993. I know this is not stuff you take into court, but I just wanted to let you know that's the Dave Hodges perspective on this. And yeah. I think it's his... I don't know what the right answer is for sure, Tom, but I do think that there is something here that is evil, malevolent, and is beyond most people's superficial view of what's really going on.
Well, you know, here's the thing. When you've ruled out all of the probable, you're left with improbable.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if there's aliens doing whatever aliens would do. I don't know about that end of it. Yeah. Like I said, I'm an evidence guy. If I don't have evidence, you know, I'll listen to anything, but it doesn't mean that I can go anywhere with it, because until I got evidence, I don't. What I can say, though, is this. Listen, at some point, when you start screwing with people's DNA, when their genes, with their genetic makeup, at some point, when you change enough of it, you're no longer human. I mean, that's just an ethical reality, right? And it sounds far-fetched. When you say that, when I say that, when I hear myself say that, it sounds really far-fetched. So what are you talking about? You know, aliens and what are you, a monkey? Well, I don't know. I don't know. But what I know is I know that the scientists have told me I have 99% of my genetic makeup that's, you know, in common with monkeys. But that 1% seems to make all the difference. Okay.
Until someone takes away the 1%.
So.
Yeah, I hear you. We're almost out of time, and I wanted to give you, because I know that you depend on support, but I want to tell you this. This has been fascinating, absolutely fascinating. And I started to take you into the deep waters where there isn't a lot of logic involved, but sometimes when people create the situations they do, we have to seek alternative explanations. And that way we may arrive at the truth. And I want to thank you for indulging our audience on that. But I know that you like support, need support to continue to do the good your work you're doing on behalf of humanity. So tell people how they can support you.
Well, thank you. Rens-law.com. And we've got two different mechanisms right now. So obviously we've got to give SendGo, and we always need that. But we also, I started that Substack, and it's not just COVID. I talk about whatever's on my mind, although there's a lot of COVID on there. If you subscribe and then you go into to the archives, you can see I got a bunch of stuff in there, historical stuff, things that are, you know, other things I've said about COVID and other such things. But, you know, I talk about whatever. It's my newsletter, and it basically is my way of keeping people up to date with what's going on or where my head is on things.
Sure.
And, you know, I would love, love, love to have as many people as possible support on that, sign up for it, subscribe to it. There's a free side and a paid side. So even if you sign up for free, I'm grateful. If you pay, it's $5 a month or, you know, whatever you want to give. And, you know, we really need as much support. 100% of that stuff goes towards this fight.
Okay.
You know,
and that's,
money,
give that address out again because we're flat out of time.
Renz-law.com. Renz, RENZ-law.com. Check out the Substack and support us any way you can.
Absolutely. Well, this has been fascinating, Tom. Thank you so much for coming on. Great interview, and keep up the important work.
Thanks a lot, Dave.
Thank you, Tom.